Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
The wonderful story of Christmas. For 20 centuries, Christians have been inspired by the beauty and love of that story, as recorded, as pictured by great artists, and as expressed in lovely melodies composed by renowned musicians.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary.
Our story of Christmas and the arts begins with the Annunciation to Mary by Fra Angelico, a 15th century Italian. He pictured Mary listening to the angel's message as she sat in the loggia that was like one in the convent of San Marco in Florence, Italy, where this artist monk lived. Fra Angelico's devout, joyous faith is reflected in his use of clear, delicate colors and in the simple, direct way that he handles Christian subjects. In Flanders, about the same time as Fra Angelico, Robert Campin painted a three-paneled altarpiece to show the Annunciation. In the center panel, Mary, reading her book, is surprised by the angel Gabriel. Joseph, with his carpenter's tools, is to the right. In the left panel, the artist has pictured a man and woman who gave the altarpiece to their church. As we examine this painting more closely, we see that Robert Campin has pictured Mary as a Flemish girl in a well-to-do home. She is young, serene, and spiritual, submissive to the will of God. How differently each artist interpreted the Annunciation. Here, Jan van Eyck, an important Flemish master of the late 14th and early 15th centuries, has the Annunciation take place in an impressive hall. Mary, at her devotions, is quietly amazed by the message. The rich, beautiful garments and the grand setting were the artist's way of saying that this was indeed an important event. Much more simple, but nonetheless dignified, is this Annunciation by an unknown Flemish artist. The story of how Mary was chosen to be the mother of our Lord was so beloved and close to Christians that artists showed it as though it happened in their own time, with costumes and settings of their day. In churches, we frequently find stained glass windows, such as this one, which pictures the events of Christmas. This window, which tells of the Annunciation, is in the Bethlehem Chapel of Washington Cathedral in Washington, D.C. All of the art in the chapel has to do with the story of Christmas.
And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord."
How tenderly artists conceived this story of Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth. Albertinelli, an Italian Renaissance painter of note, invests the incident with great dignity and beauty of line and color. He shows the two women embracing as they speak of the joy of the coming birth. And then Mary sings her song, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." The great Johann Sebastian Bach was so inspired by those words that he used them for his Magnificat, which we've been hearing for several moments. In his painting, The Visitation, Rembrandt, a Dutch artist, pictured Mary and Elizabeth surrounded by friendly, interested people. It is as though Elizabeth has just run down the steps of her home to greet her cousin and to rejoice with her in the news which she brings. We see that Rembrandt has painted Mary as young and innocent as a child. Even so, there's beauty and strength of character in her face. Elizabeth is much older. The wonderfully golden light which envelops the two women is light as only Rembrandt could create. He makes it seem to come from the very souls of his subjects.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
The Christmas story moves faster now that the day for the birth of Christ is at hand. Peter Bruegel, a master of painting in 16th century Flanders, shows the registry for taxes as though it had taken place in one of his own villages. From every direction, the people come across a snowy landscape to obey the call of Rome. Looking closely at a detail of the painting, we can see that their clothes and the landscape tell us that this is Flanders and that these are peasants of a long ago time. When we look for Mary in Bruegel's crowded canvas, we discover that she's almost lost in the great press of the crowd. She's riding on a donkey with Joseph following close behind. All are weary, even the donkey.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
An unnamed French artist painted the shepherds huddled around a fire, their sheep grazing close by. This picture is a tiny, delicate illustration for a 15th century devotional book called A Book of Hours. In music, no composer captured the beauty and wonder of the Annunciation to the shepherds better than George Frederick Handel in his pastoral symphony, From the Messiah. This Flemish Annunciation of the shepherds is also from A Book of Hours, but it's quite different from the one we just saw. The shepherds tend their flock near a castle. Appears to two shepherds and a shepherdess. The bagpipe, the tambourine, and the lovely flowers join with the angel's song, so that music and all nature seems to be singing, "Glory to God in the highest."
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, "Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
So many artists have used their imaginations to show how they thought the arrival of the shepherds might have been. Mantegna, an Italian of the 15th century, painted this taking place in the countryside he knew best. All is peace, beauty, and adoration. This carved wood panel, showing the adoration of the shepherds, was done about 1530 by the St. Luke's Guild of Woodcarvers in Antwerp. It's part of an elaborate carved and painted altarpiece depicting scenes from the life and ministry of Christ. In this panel, the six shepherds are particularly interesting because of their expressions of wonder. Gold, dark red, and blue paint enriches the deeply carved figures and invests them with a certain liveliness. Some artists chose the adoration of the shepherds for their most important commissions. Hugo van der Koos used it in the principal part of his Portinari altarpiece, considered his most famous work. The figures are nearly life-size, and everything is on a very grand scale. This detail of the van der Koos altarpiece is its most important part. In it, Jesus really looks like a newborn child. Long ago, Christian scholars believed that Jesus as a baby could not carry the sins of the world, and so artists often pictured him as a tiny man. In this altarpiece, van der Koos wanted to show every human being, every earthly and heavenly creature worshiping the Christ. Angels, symbolizing messengers from God, are an artist's way of indicating an event or person of spiritual importance. These lovely angels are serious as well as beautiful. It is as though they knew that this child, as he grows older, will experience much sorrow and suffering. The Adoration of the Shepherds by Giorgione is a favorite Christmas painting of Christians everywhere. Mary has brought her child from the cave-like stable on a pillow so that the shepherds may see him. These plain, humble shepherds have come straight from the beautiful Italian countryside pictured to the left. How crowded this Adoration of the Shepherds by Albrecht Dürer seems after Giorgione's simple scene. Dürer shows everyone coming to the manger, angels, saints, and even the people of his own town. The shepherds are arriving from far off. Dürer lived at the same time as Martin Luther and was influenced by the Reformation. Murillo, working about the same time as Rembrandt in the 17th century, but in Spain, pictured the Nativity in a realistic fashion. Mary lets the adoring shepherds press close to look at her baby. A boy, brought by his mother, has come to see this child who has been born in a stable. And now a Frenchman, Georges de la Tour, shows the Nativity as though it had come to France. Jesus is wrapped in swaddling cloths, as were almost all newborn children of peasants in 18th century France. La Tour, a master of light, has flooded the scene with radiant glory.
Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.
These lovely carved and painted wooden figures were done in Germany in the late 15th century. Artists used the theme of the coming of the Magi more frequently than that of the shepherd's visit. Perhaps it was because the wise men gave them an opportunity to paint fine materials and exotic oriental backgrounds. Sculptors, too, loved the Magi theme. The march-like music from Berlioz's Childhood of Christ goes well with Sassetta's Journey of the Magi. This Sienese artist, who worked in the first half of the 15th century, had a gift for portraying the beauties of nature. In the same painting, this detail of the central figures points up the importance of the splendid caravan of wise men. Their fine garments, the opulence of all the trappings of the horses, everything about the picture indicates that this is indeed a distinguished company. Botticelli, like many other artists of his day, followed the custom of putting well-known people of his time into his pictures. His Adoration of the Magi included portraits of the Medici family, rulers of Florence in Italy. As we look more closely, we can admire the Magi's fine robes and the golden vessels which hold the spices. This famous painting, which was finished in 1478, was probably done at the request of the Medici family. It was not only sculptors and painters who pictured the story of the wise men who came to see Jesus, but also those who were skilled in weaving. In this portion of a late 15th century tapestry, Jesus is reaching for a treasure chest which the old Magi is offering. The other wise men bear magnificent vessels of frankincense and myrrh. They look as though they too will remove their crowns to symbolize their subjection to the new king. Jerome Busch, who lived in Holland about 400 years ago, did this unusual adoration of the Magi. Busch always gave close attention to details. You'll discover many if you look closely. Birds and animals and flowers and a fascinating landscape. Moving into the central group of this same painting, we see that Busch depicts Mary showing her child to the richly dressed oldest wise man. Jesus looks more like a little man than an infant. Joseph looks a bit puzzled at all that's going on. And on the right side of the same painting, the two younger wise men are engaged in thoughtful conversation. Busch followed an ancient legend by making one of the Magi an Ethiopian. The slashed sleeves, unusual draperies of the splendid garments, and their jewels give the men an appropriate air of majesty. In the first half of the 17th century, more than 50 years after Busch, Diego de Silva y Velázquez, a Spaniard, painted this adoration of the Magi. Velázquez's style was soft and lovely. He made Mary very beautiful, and Jesus an appealing, charming baby. As court painter to King Philip IV, Velázquez was an important artist of his time. 100 years after Velázquez in England, William Blake painted his rendition of the Adoration of the Kings. It's altogether different from any of the others that we've seen. An aura of mystery envelops it like a mist. Blake gives prominence to the star. The faces of his wise men reflect profound wisdom. The mysterious light falls most intensely on Mary and her child.
The angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.
In the beautiful, tender oratorio, The Childhood of Christ, Hector Berlioz tells the story of the flight into Egypt. In the same pastoral mood, Gérard David, a Flemish artist of about 500 years ago, painted this lovely picture of the Holy Family resting on their way into Egypt. In the same restful, reflective mood, Anthony van Dyck did this natural, softly flowing painting of the rest on the flight. How tenderly Mary holds her child. Joseph, too, is concerned and thoughtful. The sleeping child is secure in their love and care. A present-day Chinese Christian artist, Lu Hung Nim, was so moved by the story of the flight into Egypt that he chose to interpret it as though it had happened in China. With the beauty of Oriental simplicity, he shows the Holy Family fleeing in a boat, the common mode of travel in China. The story of Christmas and the arts would not be complete without examples of Madonnas and the Holy Family by great painters and sculptors. The Holy Family Under Apple Tree by Rubens is warm, tender, and joyous. Its colors are rich and bright. The style is curving and luscious. Jesus and his cousin John are happily playing with each other. These carved, delicately colored figures of the Holy Family gathered around the crib are from the workshop of Rossellino. The group makes us think of how Francis of Assisi set up a manger scene on Christmas Eve in the year 1223 in the village of Greccio in Italy. Francis had live people and real animals for his creche. Rossellino, an important sculptor of 15th century Italy, was known for his sad, sweet Madonnas. They were as dearly loved in his day as in ours. About the same time as Rossellino was doing his lovely Madonnas, the Della Robbias, a whole family of sculptors, created hundreds of beautiful glazed terracotta Madonnas. Luca Della Robbia, who did this Madonna and Child, was the founder and leader of this family workshop. He perfected a formula, a secret to this day, incidentally, which gave all their work the milky white and clear heavenly blue that is its mark of uniqueness. The spiritual beauty of a Raphael, Madonna, and Child has appealed to Christians ever since that artist began his faultless work more than 450 years ago. Its rich colors, its depth of characterization, make it a lovely thing, worthy of inspiring and reminding all of us how the birth of a child so long, long ago brought God's gift of love into the world. And so, in countless ways, the arts tell us the incomparable story. The story of how God came as a little child. It's a story that has no equal and no end.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thank you.
We invite you to join in singing together some of our most familiar Christmas hymns and carols, accompanied at the organ by Robert Mitchell. Each carol is preceded by a brief comment, during which time you may wish to turn to the selection in your hymnal or songbook. Adeste Fidelis, O come all ye faithful, comes to us from a Latin poem dated 1274. It was translated and set to music by John Francis Wade in 1744 and is still universally popular at Christmas time throughout the world. A real testimony to its genuine worth. Away in a Manger is a traditional favorite. There is no trace of an author for this beautifully simple hymn, nor has the date of its composition been established. However, the delicate sweetness of the words presents a thoughtful picture of the nativity scene easily understood in the child's world. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is one of the best-loved Christmas hymns, sung every year with vigor and enthusiasm. 1739 by Charles Wesley and adapted for use in a festival by Mendelssohn in 1840. The music expresses the strength of a soul, carry a message of joy. Thank you. First Noel is an English carol of the 17th century. 1823, the traditional tune was not published until 10 years later. The word Noel is an expression of joy and exaltation, originally repeated to commemorate the birth of Christ. The hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, was written in 1846 by Edmund Hamilton Sear and first set to music by Richard Storrs Willis in 1850, a decade before the Civil War. Not only is the biblical story artfully told, but it is one of the first hymns to emphasize the social significance of the angel's message. Thank you. Little Town of Bethlehem was written in 1867 by a young minister in Philadelphia, Phillips Brooks, after he had made a pilgrimage to Palestine the year before. The original tune was written for the words by Brooks organist Louis H. Redner. Through the years, it has remained a perfect combination of the nativity background, the gospel story, and its spiritual message for us all. Joy to the World, the Lord is Come, has become one of the most popular Christmas hymns in existence. It was written and first published in 1719 in Isaac Watts' interpretation of Psalm 98. In it, the author expresses with deep reflection what Christ's birth has meant to mankind. Silent Night, a favorite for all time. On Christmas Eve, 1818, Joseph Moore, an assistant priest of a church in Austria, asked his organist, Franz Gruber, to put music to the inspiring words he had just written the night before. He had been very moved by the sincerity of a band of strolling players illustrating the Christmas story, and felt the only way he could recapture his experience was through this revered hymn.